I'm going to try and start this episode without us laughing, but it doesn't happen. So, welcome to Shut Up and Ride, the podcast with Ben Atkinson, Liberty Trainer, and the most handsome man in equestrianism.
Excuse me, hang on.
When that sentence came out of my mouth, I didn't think, what am I going to say about Simon?
Thanks a lot.
And Simon Grieve, the funniest man in equestrianism and handsome.
Love you,
you are
Jenny.
Handsome. You are handsome.
In a roundabout kind of way, when it suits.
Slightly more rustic, I would say.
He's classically good looking, whereas Simon, you look like you've been dragged through a hedge backwards. Is that what you're saying?
Don't put words in my mouth, Simon Grieve. You know I think you're the handsomest. Ben's too handsome for me.
Not at the moment. I'm going for a Simon beard.
You're going for a silent beard, Ben.
No, a Simon beard, because I've just not got home from Your Horse Live and not shaved. So I'm trying to, this is about as much beard as I ever grow.
Yeah, how was Your Horse Live, Ben? Because it looked like you were so busy, like you had.
Can we not talk over the fact that he thinks that's a beard? I think my 7-year-old has more facial hair. Can I just?
I bet he doesn't have grey facial hair.
I think that's distinguished, Simon.
I get grey eyebrows.
She tries to claw
hairs.
Her way back. That's weird.
How are you? Oh, mate, yeah. Slippery slope.
It's the start. George loves to pluck them.
So it looked like you were super, super busy. It looked like you had a great time, but like you were doing performance and then meet and greet and then performance and then like crazy.
Yeah, I didn't really breathe while I was there. Like we had VIP breakfast at 8:30 in the morning. Then at 9:30, how to yard doing an educational demo. Then got about an hour off and then first performance of the day, then horse and country stage, then meet and greet, then second performance of the day. So pretty full on. But then I like to be busy. Do you know, if I'm going to be at an event, one thing that drives me mad sometimes, like if I'm at somewhere like Hoy's, is that I might have one 10-minute performance a day. And then for the rest of the day, like obviously it's lovely you enjoy the show, but then you can feel a little bit like, I could be working. I like that when busy.
It comes a little bit.
Yeah, and it's really nice there because it's what I love is that when we're in the how-to yard at Your Horse Live in the morning, that's when I do this educational demo on how we do what we do, like my method of training and stuff. And I think that's really nice because then people have sort of been, I've explained to people how my method works and how I interact with and train my horses, so that then when they're watching the show later on, you know, they've got like a good idea about how it all works and how it all clicks together.
So is the show, sorry, I'm so rubbish because I've never seen one of your shows. I feel like a bad person, but it's nothing about the education. You don't, it's literally, you're just showing off.
Showing off. Just so
showing
if I'm
what you can do.
Yeah, if we're performing, we're just, you know, we don't have any commentary. I don't speak. We have no mics. It's just music and the sort of the horses showing off. It's like an obnoxiously long freestyle, basically.
I think you need to, obviously you've told us, or you're yet to prove it, that you are a musical theatre by heritage and that you can sing. I feel like this is something that's missing from your show, Ben, wearing a microphone and singing whilst doing Roman riding. No one's doing that. Come on, raise your game. What's going on?
What would your singing be? What would you sing?
I dreamed a dream of time gone by.
Did you guys not see in Facebook in America? I didn't know they were videoing me, and they were like, oh, Ben, we need to do a sound check. Like, put this head mic on and sing. So we can see if the mic's working. And so there is actually, if you scroll back on my Facebook, there is a video of me singing various musical theatre and Disney songs.
I definitely
trying to
see that.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Right, I'm on it now. Keep him talking, Simon, I'm finding. Is this on your Facebook page or someone else's Facebook page?
It'll be on mine. It'll be mine. Probably about a month ago. But
come on, give us a few notes.
Absolutely not.
She did
I'm
this
exhausted.
To me the other day. She listened to me the other day. She said, sing now. I'm like, I'm not just going to do it on demand.
You two are rubbish.
Yeah, well, I need to be properly
this
warmed up.
This podcast needs more listeners. Come on.
I need to get in the zone.
So would you say that Your Horse Live would be like your busiest show?
Either Your Horse Live or Horsemanship Showcase that I have at the end of the month. So Horsemanship Showcase is a bit like Your Horse Live, but all for Liberty and Natural Horsemanship stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that event has three different arenas, and I perform in every arena at least once a day, like do demos and stuff.
Ooh, wait there, I think I might have found it.
That's three performances. That's three performances every day without fail.
Yeah.
Is there a child in the background saying, yes, play the greatest showman?
Yeah, they're treating me like an Alexa.
Yeah, I can so imagine you on Les Mis.
I know, right? You've missed your calling.
No, definitely not.
I interrupted what was a very grown-up chat.
I was cripplingly under-talented compared to all the other people I did musical theatre with growing up.
I can't believe that, sorry.
They all went on to go to posh drama schools and everything. And I just...
Did they go to Rada and that kind of stuff?
Rada and Mount View and all of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking of posh drama schools, we were meant to have a guest on today, but sadly, she is ill. I'm not going to say her name yet, but she is actually a Hollywood actress.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to her.
I know, and I'm not gonna give any more clues than that away. So
I
just
get some tips off her about how to become an actor.
Would you like to become an actor?
I'd love to, but I just wouldn't have time to do that right now.
Because you're so busy to earn all the big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's the fastest I've ever seen anybody have a dream and then discard it instantly. Like, I would love to be an actor. What? No, I'm far too busy. Just like a little 5-second vacation of the mind. Like, I would hate to be an actor, I think. I'd love to be in the big film.
Oh, I'd love it.
But I think it's a lot more boring than people think it is.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd love to be a really, really successful actor that earns the big bucks. I think that's probably what it is, really.
Okay, Ben, did you know that he has informed me that he's good at accents?
Really?
I informed you of that, did I?
Yes, you did inform.
No, I asked you whether you do accents, and you
said
no.
Which was a loaded question for me to then go, why can you do accents, Simon?
Which she ignored.
Yes, I did. I didn't hear him ask me that. And I listened back to the edit and went, oh, Simon asked me a question. I just totally spoke over him because it's all about me. Hurrah.
Can we do accents on a podcast without getting cancelled? I don't think so.
Oh, I was going to say something really inappropriate. I think we can. Of course you can. Rory Bremner's made a living out of it. That's the only person I can think who does accents right now. Okay.
Well, I mean, but to be fair, I did just see something on Facebook about Little Britain.
Why?
Well, that's not streamed anywhere now, is it?
It was wholly inappropriate.
Yeah, it was really.
Right, Simon, you can't now leave us hanging. Your Irish accent, which I got a glimpse of.
No,
before...
Irish I'm not very good at.
Okay, what are you good at?
You put me on the spot now.
Come on, monkey, dance.
I'll just throw it. I'll throw it in at some point in this podcast. There you go. We'll do it like that.
Do you have like a go-to? Because for me, because I lived in Ireland, my Irish accent would be the only one I feel like I can do.
Your Irish accent's really good, isn't it?
Well, I need a bit of practice. But the moment I'm around an Irish person, then it will definitely come out. But it's the only one I can do that sounds remotely like the country it's meant to be. Everything else, I just like, if I do American, I sound Indian. If I do Scottish... Basically, I'm insulting the whole of my husband's family.
Yeah, when I do my Scottish accent, all my Scottish friends say it sounds terrible, but all my kind of English friends think it sounds quite good.
Go on then, give us your Scottish accent.
So I've got two tapes of Scottish accent. The first one's quite, I think it makes me sound a wee bit more manly. No?
That is really good.
What do you think? Or I could sound a wee bit more like Mrs. Doubtfire. I could try that.
Oh, my God!
That's a wee bit more like that. No. I'll just stick with this one.
The only thing I know how to say in a Scottish accent is got murdered by a curly-wurly.
That's from Taggart.
Yeah. That's really good. There's been a mud that, Jim.
Whenever we're short of a guest, we'll just get Simon on with his Scottish accent and pretend he's someone else, and we'll be fine.
Or I could try my French. Just ask me a question.
Now I can't think of a question. Like, that's ridiculous. My job, I make a living out of asking questions. I can't think of a question. Okay, Simon, tell us about Peter, your puppy that's for sale.
Peter is my favourite puppy, and I really like him. He's very funny, and he's like a little ball of fluff. And
is it wrong that I find the way you say puppy in a French accent surprisingly sexy?
A little puppy. They are so naughty and a little bit like myself. A bit naughty and really fun.
He sounds like my friend Greg. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What nationality is he?
Well, he's from Belgium, but he speaks French.
He's actually Welsh.
He's actually Welsh, yeah.
Yeah, Simon, his accent's terrible. But I love the French accent. I went to, I was at Burley 1 year and I was grooming for somebody. And I went to over to the Americans and there was a friend of mine was grooming for somebody else. And I spoke to her in my French accent. And then one of the other grooms, when I actually started speaking like in my English accent, she was like, oh my God, I actually thought you were French. I was like, yeah. Sorry, that's a bit of a rubbish story.
A little bit similar to that. Sometimes I will reveal a bit of a secret because most of the people who do what we do, especially like with the Liberty and stuff at the level that we do, are from Europe and are people from abroad in England. And so sometimes we'll be leaving shows and if I'm really tired and I don't want to speak to people, the first thing they'll ask is, excuse me, do you speak English? And then if we want to keep moving, then we'd just be like, quoi? It's you'd be astonished at how many people come up to us and are like, are you English? Do you speak English? Like, from Yorkshire?
You're like, no.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I speak Yorkshire, love it.
So this is a question for you both, really. You do the old meet and greets, especially you, Ben. People queue around the block to see if you're wearing your top off or not.
Complaint. All right, I've got my thing that annoys me this week. Right?
Oh, okay. We'll run with that then.
When I was doing the meet and greets at Your Horse Live, right?
Yeah.
This Esme got security. Meg was there. Meg got security. Harlow got security. My line of people, just as long as theirs. No security. I was like, Your Horse Live, why don't I get security? And they were like, oh, no, sorry, Ben, only the influencers get security. I was like, well, thank you very much. I'll be fine. So that doesn't really annoy me. But that just really amused me. I was like, what a weird world. I was like, so it's not the amount of people. I just assumed the security were there for traffic control. And then I was like, no, it's not at all.
Yeah.
I wonder, that must be like a contract thing. But it made me feel not as special. I was like, I want high-vis people standing with the nightclub rope at the end of my line.
Well, Ben, you just have to just realise that if Jenny or I were doing a meet and greet, there would not be anybody. But you might come along just like to be nice. But other than that, no one else is going to come and meet and greet us, are they? maybe Jenny, actually. Jen, you're a bit more famous, Jenny.
Well, no, with my history as being a door supervisor, I'm more likely to be the person wearing the high viz than sat there having people with a queue. So I'm all right with that. Right. So with the meet and greet, and there's a whole thing I want to unpack about influencers, but I'll probably get in trouble and no one will ever listen to this ever again. So I'm not going to go there. So with the meet and greet, right? I have had quite a few people in my time, especially when we had the show on Sky and stuff like that, only at horse events, never out of context, unless I was in Ireland, then everyone used to come up to me. But people ask for a selfie these days, but back in the day it was autographs, wasn't it? People want a selfie. Do you still do the autograph? Because I've always found when people have asked for an autograph, what the fuck do you write? Because I'm like, you're not meant to do your actual signature because otherwise people can forge it and rob you. So that's a thing. But I always think just writing your name seems a bit weird. Like, why does anyone just want my name? So I think, like, you should write them a note but then what do you say? Like, heels down and kick on. Like, I just never know. I always find that bit really awkward. But I've never had to do it a million people. So what is your go-to if someone wants an autograph?
I just write my name. I just write B. Atkinson. But I have a way of writing it so that I can do it, like, quickly, which makes the whole process sound a lot more...
Name.
Jenny really wants to have some sort of controversy here. She wants you to say, oh, yeah, I write something like, your mum's really hot, Ben.
No, you know what? My biggest fear actually is, what makes it take far too long is if people want their names on it, because I can't spell at all.
I hate that.
That's a nightmare, that is.
And then my brain panics as well. So, like, yesterday, I only had to do one name. And this, like, it's not... what. Basically, people walk up and I just try and talk to them straight away. Like, oh, hey, how are you? How's your day going? What's your favourite part of the show? Oh, yeah, I loved watching Jeff and Ollie as well. Or, like, oh, yeah, Laura Collette's demo is amazing. And then while I'm doing it, I've signed whatever I'm signing, the poster, the magazine, whatever. And then by the time you've done that, you're saying, oh, would you like a picture? And then we get a picture and then it's on to the next person. Whereas, which isn't, and that's not because I don't want to spend time with people. I love answering the questions and stuff. But then you're on a time schedule, aren't you? When it's like a proper meet and greet. You know, the next person's coming in to do theirs. And so when someone comes up, like this guy was like, oh, can you write a message to my girlfriend? Can you write to Daisy? And I just couldn't think how to spell Daisy. My brain just like completely fell out.
Could be worse. Could be like Siobhan or something, which is just spelt the weirdest way. Siobhan. No,
worse is when they're like, oh, can you sign it to my son David? And so you do, and then they're like, oh no, it's David with an X, and you're like, oh yeah, of course it is.
What?
Like just like bizarre spellings of stuff, and you're like, yeah, what's going on? Like, why? Like, you knew you were throwing me a curveball there, didn't you? You watched me. You're like, you know that your child's name sounds normal. Or the funniest thing I've ever had was two women came up to a meet and greet once and they said, oh, can we get two posters? We'd like to buy two posters for our daughters. Could we get them signed, please? And one of them was like, you know, my daughter's name is Sally. And the other one's like, oh, my daughter's name is Deborah, whatever. And I signed them, did it. And then they walked away to the point where I guess they thought I couldn't see them. And then they stopped and handed each other the posters. So they'd obviously invented imaginary children to get, because neither of them as adult women wanted to give their own name for these posters.
That's
so
brilliant.
I found that very funny. And I've signed, the weirdest signings I've done are people who have asked me to draw things on them and then they're going to get that tattooed. I've done that a few times.
Okay, that's weird.
Like, I think I could count on I think it would be two hands, just the number of people that asked for my autograph.
But you've done the most stuff. Which is the thing that blows my mind the most.
You've actually
like,
achieved
you've done
things.
Badminton, Burley. You've actually achieved stuff. Okay, so tell Ben and our lovely listeners the Caroline Powell story.
Oh yeah, well, so I don't get asked for my autograph, but I do get asked for like my photo on a fairly regular-ish basis. And I was walking the course at Blenheim this year, and this lady came over and she was like, "Oh, Simon, my daughter's a massive fan of yours. Would you mind having a photo taken with her?" And I was like, "Are you a big fan of Meg's?" Because normally when people ask me, it's because they're a really big fan. And she's like, "Yes, God, she loves Meg." I was like, "Okay." So that's the main reason of it. And then I was like, "Okay, that's cool." So I kind of stood next to her and we were having the photo taken. And as that was happening, Caroline Powell walked in front of us as she was walking the course and carried on walking. And I didn't say it, but I was thinking to myself, that woman there won badminton this year, and you have no idea who she is. But yeah, you're having a photo taken with me. I just don't get it at all. But anyway, there we go.
And
I'm like, I'm rubbish. She's amazing, and you don't even know who she is.
The only thing I would say to that is, you guys do a podcast with me, where you'll be like, next week we've got this person on, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know who they are.
Can I just say, I could edit that really badly to be like, but you guys do a podcast with me, and that's, and to make it sound like that's why we're famous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I thought he was saying.
No.
Yeah, Ben's so arrogant.
I never know who anybody is because I just live in my own little world, don't I?
Yeah, but to know who Simon and Megan are because of social media over Caroline Powell, who's won the toughest event in the world, breaks my heart. I have to say.
I've thought this before. Is the issue then? Because you can't blame people for not going to content that doesn't exist. Do you think that there should be, especially in the modern world and the way it works, these big events and the big, you know, the, I've forgotten what you call them now. Do you know, like the organisations that run the eventing and the show jumping and the dressage, for them to make more of a big deal on social media of their winners and of their successful riders and things, so that that content is there for the public. Because your YouTubers and your influencers are hammering away constantly for Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of it. And so then your big names that actually are, like we've said, like we're joking about it, but it, you know, Simon has achieved so much more than I have with everything. Like, and so those things should be getting celebrated.
That's not true. I get what you're saying. Well, that's not true. But I do think like British Eventing and British Dressage, and do they have a YouTube channel? I don't know.
But also, badminton now you have to pay to subscribe. So it's not like when it was on the BBC, the whole lot of it. Do you know what I mean?
See, for me, I think I've said this before, the having it like that for badminton and Burley and Poe now as well, there's subscription only to be able to view. That really, I don't think that works very well for the sport in general, because we all, the people that want to watch it will pay to watch it, great. But then people that don't want to watch it, the only thing that they're going to see is when, because people will screen record and they will screen record all of it, and then they will get the highlights for them and they'll put it onto their Instagram or their Facebook or onto TikTok or whatever. And it's always going to be something not very great. It's going to be horses falling or people running out, or because people aren't interested in it going well. Well, they kind of are, but the majority are interested in stuff going wrong.
And the car crashes.
Exactly. And so like the stuff that's actually coming out on social media is the stuff that's not going very well. And I think that's really bad. I think that's really bad. Because, you know, 95% of it is massively successful and the horses go brilliantly and they look amazing and they're having a great time. But we're only seeing the 5%, which is the stuff that's not going so well. And I think that's really bad. That's my kind of main kind of gripe with having subscription-only viewing of our big events. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But
you can see it in the social media as well. I saw a page, I'm not going to say its name, but I saw a page recently talking about a big 3-day event that had gone on in America. And they were trying to make out that the cross-country course was too dangerous because only 30% of the runners completed it. And the way the article read made out like 70% of people had rotational falls because it was so dangerous. But actually, there'd maybe been like one horse had a bit of a tumble, but was fine. And nearly every other person who hadn't completed it had either pulled up halfway round or retired before they even got to the starting box because they just decided horses weren't running well enough or their scores weren't good enough, or do you know what I mean? And so, but because that information isn't so easily accessed and so public, then you can kind of take the loot. Because obviously lots of people on social media are just trying to get as much traffic as possible, as we all are. And so they twist those facts to make it sound more dramatic than it is.
And like you said, traffic seems to come from the negatives. Like if you put something up, Ben, of you trained, well, either training or in a performance, and it goes a bit wrong, and I don't know, you kind of like miss your footing and you fall off as you're galloping along, standing on the mats, that will go viral. People are like, oh my God, like, God, isn't that awful? I put a video of myself on because at Blair I had a fall in the warm up, and I put that video on, and that's the most popular video I think of all of my videos this year.
Yeah,
and that's not because it was really jolly hockey sticks and good fun. It was because it wasn't very nice.
Makes me sad.
It's sad.
It does make me sad. It just blows my mind a little bit. I think, don't get me wrong, I know that influencers work very hard and then they do a lot of filming and blah blah blah, but essentially what I think gets my goat the most is the word influencer. They are trying to get you to buy stuff that they are promoting so they can make money, so everything is geared towards you being influenced. And I have worked with influencers who I know don't like the products that they are pushing, and I have young children who eventually will probably try and be on these things, which I'll try and avoid for as long as possible. And it just, it breaks my heart that people are being swayed by people who don't believe in a product and are just selling it because they're getting money for it. And there's
no
regular...
But it's also tricky because you also get some that are very genuine and that they do a really a really good job of keeping it so that it's genuine and they do believe in the products that they're using. And then there is that percentage of ones that, like you say, genuine are like that. So it's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it?
It is. I just don't, for me, I don't know, it must be my age, because I watch some of it and I'm like, I don't get it. I do not get it. Whereas I will watch you going cross country all day, Simon.
I can completely get it. If you're like 12 years old or 15 years old and really into horses, like, of course you watch the big shows when they're on and stuff. But then also, if you're like that age, you don't really have money, do you? So if you need to pay these subscriptions to watch these big shows now online, or you need to go to those events, you need mum and dad to say they're going to drive you and pay for tickets and stuff for that to happen. We can all admire and have our heroes, but we can't relate to them. If I'm 13-year-old me aspiring to be a dressage rider, I don't see any similarities between me and Carl Hester. Really, do you know what I mean? Apart from a passion for horses. But he's like an alien that's so high above, that's so out of reach. Whereas then if there's someone who's my age on YouTube showing their struggles of learning how to do those things and doing the normal stuff that I do, and then maybe going to lessons with people like that, and I'm getting to watch it from a sort of... So sometimes I see the influencers as like the bridge between the top riders and the person at the start. Do you know what I mean? Because they're the link. They kind of get glimpse of that top level. What would it be? It gives you, if I get to watch someone like Meg or Esme or whoever go for a lesson with a top rider on a YouTube video, then you can almost imagine yourself going for a lesson with one of those top riders.
I get that bit. That bit I understand, and I'd understand why people would watch that. What I don't understand is why you get a million views of someone power hosing their yard. Like, some of the videos that
cleaning. I do think Ben's right. I do think because it is about it being relatable. Like, and
I get that. Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was a kid, I was slightly obsessed with Pippa Funnel, and she had, and I thought she was absolutely amazing, and like I watched all her videos, all her VHSs. And I'd record it off the telly as well, because you could do it back then, and I'd watch it back endlessly. And then I remember one time specifically, we were driving back from my grand's, and we drove past this yellow lorry with Modern Alarms emblem on the side of it. And I was like, oh, Pippa Nolan, as she was then, is sponsored by Modern Alarms. And then I realised that it was actually her lorry. And then I saw it again, I don't know, maybe a year, a couple of years later, in the garage. So this is a very long, really boring story. In a garage. And I was like, oh my God, it's Pim Nolan's lorry. And then I became slightly obsessed with that. So then whenever we went to an event, I'd go to the lorries to like kind of watch what they were doing. I'm such a geek. But that's what these guys do. They show everything. And if Pippa Funnel had gone around with a camera and it had been on YouTube and said, oh, this is my lorry and this is what I do, and da, 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 I would have literally been obsessed with it. I would have watched it endlessly. But top riders don't do that. So it's the next best thing.
And also, we now know why Pippa Funnel's got a restraining order out against you.
I really thought he was going to say, so we followed the lorry.
I missed that bit out.
Jenny, I do know what you mean, though. I agree. So, like, I have a big thing. No, I won't take any... I won't be an ambassador for or have any sponsorship deals with a product that I do not believe in or that I disagree with.
Yes.
And I think that's very poor. Anybody that promotes something that they do not like, do not use or do not understand even, I would say is very
bad.
Poor.
And I just think, like, don't get me wrong, I totally get why it's popular and your points. My gripe is the influencing people to buy shit constantly, because some of these guys are very young and impressionable. But there is where I don't understand why people keep watching it, because some of them do just fill up their Instagram with constant selling. And I'm like, surely people get bored of this. That's the bit I don't understand. I get why people want to see it, because they feel seen and it feels relatable. And actually, I think that's brilliant, especially like they go for lessons with top riders and you can learn so much. I don't follow many of them, but I think I saw like Tina, who we both know, she was having a lesson on her new horse with Alexander Bragg, who I think he's amazing. So I think stuff like that, absolutely brilliant. But what I don't, but I don't like it when it takes away from the top riders. But like you say, Simon, the top riders aren't doing enough of it. So therefore, we can't follow them. So it's difficult.
And yeah. I've said it before. It's difficult for the top riders to be really honest about how things are going and how it all, because especially when things go wrong. And that's the other thing with the influencers, is that if it goes wrong, then it doesn't really matter. Like, they can say, oh my goodness, I rode so badly today. And then I had a run out, and which meant that I didn't win or whatever, or missed out on a placing. Isn't that awful? And then all the comments in that would be, oh my God, thanks for being so honest about how you're feeling. And that's amazing. Whereas a professional rider would be like, I can't say that I messed up today. And I can't say, that I rode badly and that I'm disappointed, because if owners see that or sponsors see that, it's more owners actually. If owners see that, they'll be like, God, if you're that kind of like worried about your own performance, then I'm not going to send you a horse, am I? So like, they've got to be quite careful about what they say. So that's why most top riders wouldn't do it. Am I making sense?
No, yeah, that does make sense. But I do think that there's a duty of care. So a top rider's been doing this for their entire life. There's a reason they've got to the top. It's like I say, not everyone's going to get to the top. Not everyone will have the money or the talent or the horsemanship skills. But also, I'm a great believer in the education system and people getting their coaching and using horses as a career and being good at it and learning properly and learning from and going and studying and becoming instructors and having that industry that I feel very strongly, if you're going to teach, you should have the correct qualifications. And some of the influencers do have like advice articles in magazines and do like advice pieces using products. That I just don't think should be allowed. I just think that people have worked really hard to get their qualifications and to be trainers and top riders. And I just think that maybe if you're not riding at the top level and are the best rider in the world or have got your qualifications, then in the imparting knowledge part of it should be left to the professionals, because it just can become a little bit dangerous or wrong.
I don't necessarily disagree, but almost like devil's advocate with this one.
Go on, then.
One thing I really hate is when people teach things that they can't do, or teach things that they can't do.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But aren't honest about it. Now, there are times that I've had students in lessons say to me, I want to work on X, Y, or Z with my horse. And if I say to the student, cards on the table, I've never done that with a horse. I've never trained a horse to do what you're asking me to train. But I've trained a lot of stuff. We can have a go. But I'm telling you flat out, I can think of 5 people off the top of my head who you would be better going to a lesson for than me for this.
Yeah.
And then if they want to pursue that anyway, then that's their thing. But more like, I think what's difficult sometimes is bridging that gap of, because there's an awkward stage, isn't there, where you are transferring from being someone who probably shouldn't be educating to someone that should be educating, but that middle ground, you know what I mean? And like, I definitely look back at lessons and articles and stuff that I've written in the past and things and be like, you're talking, you didn't know what you knew, do you know what I mean? You in the past, Ben. Didn't know what you were talking about.
But I've thought that before with like I've thought that with coaches before, like that, you know, you get some that are kind of running before they can walk a little bit and they're trying to coach people stuff that actually they're not really that capable of doing themselves. And that's kind of because this is only been relatively recent that I've started coaching a lot, or coaching to any kind of
a lot. You send us your schedule.
I know, but up until COVID, Ben, I didn't coach at all. Like, I didn't coach at
really?
All. Nothing. I didn't never taught anybody because I was so focused on my own riding and my horses and all that kind of stuff. But I also avoided it because I didn't think that I was knowledgeable enough to be able to do it. And you know, I've been by that stage, I've been around Burley 7 times. So like, you know, but I just, I don't know, I kind of was like, I don't feel I'm ready to be able to educate somebody else. Which, but then you get the others, the opposite end of the scale, and they're like, yeah, no, I'm ready. I can train somebody to go around badminton and I've not even done a novice, you know?
Yeah.
But there, that's my kind of my point is you are able to train people because you're like what you've achieved and you've seen it all and done it all. But not only that, you're getting your qualifications on top of it. Whereas, some people feel like they can teach and impart this knowledge on their social media channels to people who don't know any better. And they think that that's perfectly acceptable. And I'm just a bit like, okay, I don't mind passing little tips and knowledge, like how to get through the winter and how to make your bed look fluffy. But when it comes to horse welfare and how to train these amazing animals, there is a duty of care to make sure that you have been trained how to properly impart that knowledge.
Yeah, I agree. Which is why I did my VHSI the other day.
Oh, really? How did it go?
Congratulations.
I did half of it. I did the riding and the coaching side of it. I'm so lucky. I don't have to do all of the riding because I've ridden, well, I've produced, I think it's 3 horses to 5 star. So that means that I don't have to bypass the ridden bit, but I had to do the coaching bit and I had to do some long reining. But then that was one day. And then I've got another day. I think it's going to be in January or February where you have to do business and stable management. So I'm like halfway through. I don't know whether I passed the first day or not yet.
Of course.
I'm waiting to hear.
How did the long reining go? Because it's one of those things when you're doing the exam, which you know how to long rein, but you've got to hold the ropes in the right way. You can't have them dangling behind. You've got to move the whip over from hands. Like, it's stressful.
Yeah, I found that I got my knickers in the right twist about it because I've done quite a lot of it, you know, breaking horses in and stuff. And I've always put long reins on in the stable and then driven them out and then done whatever. Yeah. Da, da, da. And but you're doing it in a school, and I just felt really kind of out of my comfort zone with it.
So what's their order? Like, because surely it's safer to put the long reins on in this, because I do the same as you, long reins on in the stable, because my worry would be, yeah, what if I get one long rein on and then I'm putting the other one and the horse kicks off and gets away from me in the arena?
Yeah. That's my, and that's like, don't get me wrong, the horse had obviously long reined before and all that kind of stuff. But I just felt very much out of my comfort zone with it because, like I say, I do exactly like you. I would do it in the stable first. And I'll normally drive them back into the stable and take them off in the stable as well.
Yeah.
And like when I'm driving them down the road or, you know, or wherever, I'll very often have the lunge line just behind me. I don't roll them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just dragging on behind. What? See, I'm not really sure.
You've got to have your knitting in place.
But with BHS now, they're trying very hard to move away from having BHS being, it's very much the BHS way. They're trying to move away from that. They're trying to make it so if it's safe and there's a good reason for doing it, then it's okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and that is something they're trying really hard to promote in the BHS now, which is another reason why they're really trying to push for more people to do the BHSI and moving it away from the BHS being really stuck in the mud. Because they've got that reputation, haven't they, for being, oh, it's not very BHS, is it? And you must wear your tweed jacket and your hat and all that kind of stuff.
If someone like yourself can go through and get their qualifications to know that you can impart your knowledge in the correct way, and then for me, that's kind of what I'm trying to make as my point. I get why influencers are there. I totally get why people find it relatable. I just think if you want to impart your knowledge to these people who follow you, and let's face it, millions of them do, then get your bloody exams or just keep your training tips to yourself and just impart what you do in your life and your day-to-day fun stuff. Because again, like, it's just, yeah, I'm going to shut up there. Also, on another point with influencers, because I'm the one on Instagram and I get quite a lot of shit with, oh, can you get this person on and can you get this person on? The reality, people who are listening to this, is we have to pay an influencer probably to come on this. I'm sure we could get a few of them to do it for free because we know lots of them. But the average influencer, I can get Carl Hester to do our podcast for free, and he has agreed to come on our podcast. And I can get Carl Hester to do filming pretty much for nothing when we are on a tight budget. Same with Laura Collett, same with all these Olympic riders. But if I want an influencer to do something, I have to pay them quite a lot of money because that is their business and that is how they make fun. I'm not saying it's like, that is what they do. That is how they make money. And that's what's frustrating, is the public don't realize that. They say, oh, why can't you get this person on this show when I'm making a TV show? Because I have to pay them $2,500 a day. And I don't have $2,500 in the budget. I have 300 quid. And that's what I can pay Laura Collett because she'll do it for that. That's what people don't see behind the scenes, is how much these guys make or how much they command as a fee. And I get why. That's how they make their money. And if I was an influencer, that's how I'd be making my money as well, probably. But yeah, and I think that's when you're getting kind of people nagging you, I think that's when my blood starts to boil. I'm like, yes, I'd love to have that influencer on because it'd be great for our stats and our viewing figures. Can't bloody afford them.
I was just thinking about what you were saying there and thinking about the conversation we've sort of been having about this. And you're talking about promoting products that you don't like or that you don't understand or don't believe in and stuff, especially if you're new to being an influencer or something, or if you've not had a guiding hand. You wouldn't know the right questions to ask. You'd believe people about the products that they said that they're trying to sell you and stuff. Because I can think off the top of my head of two companies that have come to me with products and they've given me their marketing spiel. I'm cynical enough that I was like, cool, can you send me any form of scientific paper that proves that the product you're trying to get me to promote does what it does? So like one of them was a CBD product for horses. I won't say any brands. It was a CBD product for horses. And in their marketing spin on the phone, they went, yeah, this is brilliant for helping horses that have chronic conditions that are in pain, such as laminitis. And I said, well, I'm really sorry. I said, my wife's a farrier. I've seen horses that she's dealt with really horrible cases of laminitis. And in that state, need bute or like phenidone. If you're going to get me to promote a product and you say that it can do that, then... So I think like that's part of it, because I could have been like, oh, wow, they wouldn't say this to me if it wasn't true. Do you know what I mean? And then they offer you money, so you go for it. And then the other thing that I've had quite funny with product before is a calming product that contacted me. And like they got quite aggressive with me when I said I didn't want to partner with them. And I think if you weren't, I don't know, you could have been bullied into that. This was a hilarious one. They contacted me and said, hi, Ben, we've got this calming product. We want you to promote it. And I just sent them a message back saying, look, I'm really sorry. I said, I just can't. Because I said, the product in question is either, it either scientifically works, in which case you're encouraging people to dope horses before they work them, which I'm not okay with. Or it doesn't work and it's a con. So either way, and they really tried to bully me into being involved with them. And I was like, so I just think there's a lot of nuance involved with it. I don't completely disagree with you, Jenny. I think there's so many. And I think as well, people, if you're our listeners, know that your favorite influencer might not be one that, if we're saying, you know, negative things or negative things that have been done, obviously it's not everyone. There's great, in the same way there's great riders and bad riders, there's great influencers and there's pants influencers.
Oh, but there's so many influencers as well now. I'll have to interview someone on a stage who's got like 150,000 followers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are. And like, it does feel like there's loads, like absolutely loads. So yeah, there's obviously different levels and different, I suppose, different levels of them. Like you look at your social media, Ben, if you didn't know, if you were just to glance on your page, someone would go, oh, he's a social media influencer. They would think that that was your primarily...
Because I don't do all the life stuff. Do you know what I mean? My videos and pictures are, this is what I trained today. This is the event I'm going to appear at. I'm not very good at that. These are my horses. These are their names. This is what I'm going to feed them. My sponsors would probably like me more.
I'm on that because my social stuff. I'm like, yeah, I use this, and my stories are always like, hi everybody, how are you all doing? Chat.
I know. We're all guilty of it in some way, shape or form. I think my latest video is me promoting some Lemur. Oh, here we go. Oh, what's Ben doing?
He's wearing his hat.
Can I just say, in our defence, and we do love Charles Owen and we have a lot of chats with them and they're very funny. But one of the reasons we came on board with Charles Owen is because they genuinely want to make change and improve horse welfare. And that was the main reason we went on board with them, not to try and make you look a prat in a hat. Although the hat did look really good at Your Horse Live.
I was pleased with
you
my hat.
You look amazing
at
in it. That's what's so annoying. It did look really good. Did you get any comments about it?
Only good ones, which obviously I thought was going to happen. So I think my going forward, the way it's going to work and the way it worked at Your Horse Live, I also found out, wait a minute, I can wear it backwards, like a backwards cap, as I found out the other day. Still fits.
Oh my God.
What a look. There you go.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
Wow.
That eyebrow protection.
That is a look.
They
anyone listening to the podcast, this is Ben wearing a hat backwards.
So they so I think the way I'm going to do it in the future is, apart from our special performance, if I'm actually doing a costumed performance, then obviously I'll not wear my hat still. But whenever I'm doing anything educational or anything like that, if I'm mounted, I will wear my Charles Owen hat because the public really liked it. Got really, really positive responses. And obviously, it's really comfy and it looked great. And yeah, I was dead happy. I will tell you a secret.
I have to say, okay, go for it. You know this is going out to thousands of people, but yeah, go for it.
After, do you know how I was useless at replying to Charles Owen's messages? Because I am useless.
Yes.
And then they got someone to drive there to drop it off for me to the event.
Yeah.
And so I got my hat and then I was doing my masterclass, my Dodson and Horrell masterclass. And then I got to the point where I was going to mount up, jumped on Malik, started riding around, and then was like, oh shit. Well, I don't think I swore down the mic. I was like, I've forgotten my hat. 1 second, galloped over to the corner and then got my hat and was like, guys, the podcast Shut Up and Ride's sponsored by Charles Owen, so I have to wear my hat. So I did maybe ride in it for a lap of the arena before I remembered I was meant to wear it. But I think that will help people remember Charles Owen slightly more. It's more of a memorable event.
Or it's not something you're used to doing. So it's like, I know to put my hat on before I get on a horse. It's like a habitual thing, isn't it? It's going to take some while for you to get used to actually putting a hat on to get on a horse.
Yeah, I started storing my whips in it on the fence in the demo so that when I got the stuff that I needed, I couldn't get the stuff I needed to do the riding bridleless without getting my hat.
Did you feel safer wearing it? Did you feel any different?
No, not really. That's not the right answer, is it?
Yes. Yeah, I feel too. Without a hat, I feel totally naked.
So do I, yeah.
These days.
If I'm on, what's weird is that if I'm getting on one I don't trust or I don't know, then I won't get on without a hat. I only have to feel nervous and then I want my hat. And that's like, even before we were with Charles Owen, I always felt like that. The weirdest thing is, especially for a lot of the stunt riding and things, and this is such a naive answer, so don't anybody take this serious. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm saying this is crap when I say it. All my injuries that we get when we're like standing on them and stuff, the injuries I've always gotten and that my friends have always gotten, it's always ankles, knees, broken legs, because you're coming down from that height. It's not normally a head injury. And I understand that, obviously, you know, I'm sure if I'd had a head injury from that height, I wouldn't be living to tell about it anyway.
What's annoying for us is you look cool. You did look cool in it. It's bloody annoying.
I can't tell you how nervous I was because it was my idea as well. I want everyone to know Charles Owen didn't say Ben has to wear a hat in the demo or anything. It was my idea. And then I will admit, guys, that when I was waiting for the hat to arrive, I was like, oh, I hope I like it when it arrives after all of this. And I absolutely love it. And I don't like hats. So I'm very pleased.
It's proper smart, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
really
cool,
nice.
Isn't it? You look really cool.
Love my little hat.
It is. It's a good hat. We've had our first complaint, Ben.
Yeah.
Our first official complaint on Instagram. And it's because, and you've done it again, you weren't wearing a vest top in the last Instagrammable video that I put on.
I could undo another button if you want, you know, a bit of skin. You can see my V tan.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no.
Well, it's cold.
And what you don't know is when we were filming and we thought you were going to be in it with Gemma Tattersall, Simon...
wore a vest.
Was in a vest top. Yes.
I wore a vest. I wanted to be like Ben. Ben is my hero. I want to just like him.
Which is absolutely brilliant.
It's not warm anymore, so I'm not living in my vests and my shades. It's all big jackets now.
Oh, so we've got to wait for this. It's a summer. It's a summer outfit.
Yeah.
Going on to last week's pod, I've just got to read out this to prove my point slightly from Instagram, from Rebecca Rapetti. She says, really enjoyed the latest pod. So good to have the three superstars back together. Why, thank you, Rebecca. I'm definitely going to watch the video on YouTube, which is what we talked about with horses and science of harmony. I'm a veterinary nurse, Andy, and I've only ever been bitten by one dog, and it was a corgi.
Jenny loves her.
I love this person who's proving my point. Thank you very much, Rebecca.
She didn't love another lady that said, can you please make sure that Ben comes back and it's not just you two because he makes the podcast. That, I don't think that didn't go down all that well with Jenny and it definitely didn't with me either.
Can we sell
that
merch?
That person's been blocked.
That is just like a t-shirt or a hoodie with a picture of a corgi with one of those, you know, like red circles with a red line through it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is the thing. I do really like corgis, and the fact that they're biting people, I just think it's quite funny. I just love the fact that so many people send me messages saying how they've been bitten by corgis. I was like, oh God, I've started something here now. Please don't just suddenly like all hating on corgis or avoiding them. I'm sure they're not all that bad.
See, Jenny, you are an influencer. You have a you have a responsibility now.
Oh, that's all it is. I'm just jealous. I just wish I got paid more and people sent me more free shit. That's all it is.
Is it, Jenny? People are taking their corgis and leaving them at dog shelters because of you and your views on the podcast. Abandoned
because
corgis.
Of your influencing ways.
Yeah, in cardboard boxes on the side of the motorway.
Oh, shut up, Ben Atkinson. Sing us a song, for God's
people
sake.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, Jenny.
We'll send you. We need a HR department to take you on a corgi familiarisation day. You can go on a How to Love Corgis course. Oh,
do you know what? I bloody love that. I actually should be more like a How to Love Influencers and People course. That should be more my thing I should be sent on. Oh, I'm a terrible human. Oh, I'm going to get so much hate for this episode, aren't I? So much hate. Because I'm not very good. I'm not like you guys. I'm not very good at articulating and I just get myself in shit. Because when I say something, it sounds like I'm like accusing everyone of everything, where I'm not, just saying the odd person or the odd corgi, but people take it.
The odd corgi. They're not all bad.
Exactly.
Just most of them.
Just all of them.
And it doesn't help that you two just make it sound worse than it is because you wind me the fuck up.
Well, that's where we like Jenny. We like to help you show your true and authentic self to the public on the podcast.
Miserable cow that is Jenny.
I can't wait till we get you good and drunk at the pub pod and then we'll get someone. We need corgi at the pub pod. That's what we need.
Oh my God, we have to have a corgi. We have to have a corgi at the pub.
Who's got a corgi that we can have? You need to message in if you've got a corgi.
Have you got a really aggressive corgi and do you listen to Shut Up and Ride? Do you want to bring it to the pub pod?
I want to get Jenny on with a safety glove on and get the corgi to really attack.
God, if we can get 10,000 listens on this podcast, we will organise for Jenny to meet up with someone with police dogs. And get one to jump on
and bite
her arm.
On this episode, you mean? We've had well over 10,000 listens.
And then we'll be in the background taking his top off, and I'll just be there.
If we get 10,000, if we can get how many listens? I don't know. I was going to carry on down that road. I was going to offer to get tasered.
You're going to offer to get tasered? If we get 10,000 listens on our one episode of the pod.
If we get 10,000 listens on this episode of the pod, then you're getting attacked by a police dog in a controlled environment.
I'm in. Yeah.
Perfect.
Just not the face. That's the moneymaker. No, sorry, that's Ben. That's Ben whose face is the moneymaker. What?
And Ben's getting tasered.
Yeah, and you can get pepper sprayed. Yeah. Right, that's it. Okay, so now I've just decided what we need to do is meet someone from the Mounted Police and get them to come on our podcast. And then we can do a full YouTube video of us getting attacked by a dog, tasered and pepper sprayed by the police. There. Then we're officially influencers.
This is how much we want to become influencers. We want to get tasered, pepper sprayed and attacked. Maybe, like, irreparably maimed so we can get more followers on the podcast. It's fine. I'm down with it. I think I'm doing better than Simon, who's getting pepper sprayed.
Yeah, I mean, where did the pepper spray idea come from? That's harsh.
Well, I don't know. Getting shot by a rubber bullet would probably hurt more.
Oh, yes. I think a shot by a rubber bullet. Can I be the one firing it at both of you?
I got shot by my friend once with his air rifle when I was really quite young, in the foot.
Really? Oh, on purpose?
This is unlocking some kind of childhood trauma.
By accident. I've got a little scar.
When I was a kid, my granddad was sorting out an air rifle that had jammed in the kitchen with me sat with him. And then it went off and ricocheted around the kitchen and embedded itself in one of the chairs. And it always made me giggle because he was just looked at me and was like, we'll not tell Grandma about that, will we? Let's just carry on. Also, today, I've come straight from my, it's been my granddad's 97th birthday today. That's where I was before we came on this podcast. And one thing I Good found effort. Crazy was he was saying today he must have been 12 years old before people in our area were predominantly doing their farming with tractors. Otherwise, it was like all horses. Oh, wow. Like, you think how fast the world has changed. And he was like, obviously, other people had tractors and stuff.
That is insane.
But, you think about the money and stuff and the layout and just bonkers. So, like, 80 years ago, horses everywhere.
That is insane. Simon's just doing a lot of wandering around the house. What are you doing, Simon?
I'm just making sure the puppies are still in the garden. And they are. So it's all okay. Keeping the puppies. If anybody would like a puppy, there are two available.
See,
or Peter and Sid.
I laugh about the complaints. We also had another complaint about the audio on this podcast not being great. I tried to point out that half the time Simon's on a phone in a lorry, so is the guest. Ben's often got crap Wi-Fi. So for people listening, give me a break. I am working with what I've got here.
What Jenny actually means is I'm really, really sorry for the inconvenience, but I'm trying my best.
I am trying my best. Simon, sit the fuck down.
Did people actually complain about the audio?
Yeah, we've had one lady complain and said that it was she had to turn it off on occasion. I'm not sure if it was just the audio, it's the fact that we talk shit for an hour.
I've had two people come up to me and be astonished at the language that is on Shut Up and Ride. I said I did warn you.
Didn't you get a message from a policewoman, Simon? I love this.
Oh, you should Police message woman. Her about getting the pepper sprayed.
Didn't she say she had to? She wound down her window, and people were wondering.
Yeah. Oh God. What did she? Yeah. She was. Well, she was basically driving around in a police car, and she was like laughing her head off at our podcast, and people thought she was insane.
And here we go. So I'm driving around in a police car. Not much is going on, so I decided to pop on a podcast in the background. Love her. First time ever listening to Shut Up and Ride. So there I am driving a police car around, absolutely pissing myself. Goodness knows what the members of the public thought I was listening to, especially as I was single crewed. New listener and Insta follower. We love this person. I'm not going to say their name just because
no.
I don't know if police people are allowed to.
Well, it's not...
Probably best kept.
Not everyone's very nice to the police, and all the police are trying to do is keep things safe.
She's a really nice lady, that one. Really nice. And she's a great rider, too.
Excellent. Well, everyone is welcome. Corgis and influencers are all welcome to listen to this pod. If you're an influencer and you want to share the pod to your thousands of followers, please do that. More shares we get, then the more money we can make. The irony in that after slagging off influencers.
And while we're at it, if anybody wants to sign up to BAM, we can go for that as well. Well, we're plugging.
Just basically three desperate has-beens trying to make a living out of a podcast. In all seriousness, I just love how much people are responding to this pod. And if we do have some very big names coming up, hopefully someone from a federation, so we can start instigating change, which is genuinely what we want to try and do with this podcast. And if we can get some advertisers on so we can fund trying to make more of this podcast and buy decent equipment so we don't get to the noise complaints, that would be wonderful. So please do share and like, because the more people who listened, the more time we can put into doing it. But we have been chatting for over an hour, as usual. Is there anything else you guys would like to share this week on the pod? I think considering we were meant to have a guest and we've still managed to chat for an hour, I think we've done quite well.
This episode should be called Jenny Hates Influencers.
God, no, I'm going to get in shit because it's not... It's you two are the worst. No, because people all think I also don't like them, but there's a lot of influencers out there who are actually friends of mine that I do like a lot. But then there's also some that I think... I just don't get why people watch your stuff. I don't get it. It just bores me to tears. But like you say, people like it.
She said those influencers are her friends. What does she say about us when we're not around?
Ben, I think everyone's very aware of what I say about you when you're not around. Answer your fucking phone. That's what I say about you when you're not around. Do my edit.
The Charles Owen lady. She just called me and I answered and she was like, I'm not sending you any more messages. I'm only calling you.
She's worked it out.
She sent me a bag. I got a bag as well with my initials on. Like your one, Ben. Ben got sent a rucksack with his initials on. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so jealous. Shall I go get mine? I'll get mine too. Sorry, Jenny, I'm not sitting down.
And I got a...
Oh, wow. This is like a really bad bottle. Episode of Challenge Annika from Simon phone.
Oh, they're very cute.
Sorry. Yeah, that's Peter.
Hi, Peter.
No, guys, no pooing in the house. Hang on, I'm just going to get my bag. One sec. I'll leave you there.
Oh, my God. You guys do realise this is a podcast where people listen. Wow. If people are still tuning into this episode, well done you. Well done. You are the hardcore listeners. You're the people we do this for. Ben's playing with his bag. Simon's just disappeared. All we've got now is a view of Simon's roof.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's the orangery.
The orangery. Jesus, I wouldn't want to eat oranges from there. I'd get sepsis.
Look!
That is very cool.
Yay!
So for people listening, can you describe the bag? Because it is cool.
I've got a Charles Owen bag, rucksack. It's for carrying your hat around in. But I've used it for my little stay away over the weekend.
That is very cool.
Ben, I think mine's bigger than yours.
Yeah, well, it is cold today.
Oh, my God. This is literally the worst podcast ever. I don't like...
I was playing with my bag and now Simon's is bigger than mine.
Wow, right.
Standard.
Give us one final accent, Ben. Simon, come on, give us one final accent.
Oh, goodness.
Can you do me?
No, I can't do you.
I fucking hate influencers.
And corgis.
Oh, God, I can't. I need to work up to my American one. My American one's not very good.
Oh, really?
No, it's not very good. I think I'll go for Irish instead. I know.
Can you do Northern? Can you do Ben?
Can I do Ben? No, not really.
Not really? That's not really a definite no. Can you work on it for next time?
Yeah, but I don't really know. Okay, I'll work on it for next time. I'll get some. I'll prepare myself for next time. The French and Excellent. The Scottish are like my kind of like standard ones.
Okay, right, people. What is exciting is Becky Moody has agreed to be on our podcast.
And that's really exciting.
If there is an influencer that people would like to have on the Shut Up and Ride podcast, send us an Instagram. Let's see if there's a general consensus of who people would like to hear. Problem is as well, I don't know if we're too rude because some people's brands are quite clean and wholesome and would this bring down their, would we be allowed to swear?
I don't think we're too rude, are we?
I don't know. Ben's been getting complaints.
We could be better if it was... It depends which influencer it is. If you're an influencer whose audience... Like, even if you're an adult, but your audience are mainly children, and then they just YouTube, like, Google what you've done, and then come to our podcast and hear them effing and jeffing, it's not a great look. So I get that.
I have realised that we have got an influencer lined up for the podcast as well.
Who? Or can we not say?
But she's really, really funny. Right, boys, I love you both.
Huh?
Ben's been actually really good at replying this week, so he's in my good books again. And he looks annoyingly good with that hat on. I feel like, this episode's just gone downhill.
It has gone downhill. I'm just gonna make it go down a little bit more. I was having a conversation the other day about mares, and it was a group of us, and I went to go and make myself a drink in the kitchen while they were chatting, and they were saying stuff about mares. I don't know why I'm coming up with this now, but they were saying stuff about mares, and it just made me think, if non-horsey people could listen to what we were saying, it's terrible. They say things like, she's really easy. she's anyone's ride. You could put your granddad on her.
Simon, they're not nice things to say about Jenny.
She's very loose.
She's handy with her back end.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I was saying all this stuff and I was just like, that just sounds terrible. You can cut this one out, Jenny, but I was show jumping on Saturday and this woman was, she came around the corner and somebody stepped out to put the fence up in front of her and she was like, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming!
I'm so not cutting that out.
And I was like,
oh my God, that sounds horrendous. And I was like laughing endlessly to myself, and no one else was laughing. And there was a girl who was, and I was like, oh my God, did you not think that was the funniest thing ever? That woman screaming, she's coming, and she's approaching the fence. She's like, I don't know what you mean. Oh my God, that is quite funny, isn't it? I hadn't even thought about that. I was like, yeah, I know, I'm terrible, aren't I?
And that, Simon Grieve, is why you're perfect for this podcast.
Everyone's watching her in the collecting ring thinking, what saddle is she in? I need whatever brand that is.
We threatened to put my friend's mum, when she was single, in Horse and Hound as an advert to try and find her a date, but in the same way as you would put a horse on, say, like, low mileage, well handled. A lovely ride.
Right.
Yeah, but for some reason she wasn't up for it. But I think that'd be a great way of doing it, to try and get someone a date, put them on as a horse advert. What else would you write about them? A bit of an all-rounder. Oh, right. On that note, I am leaving all those stories in. Might edit all the influencer stuff out so I don't get the haters. Oh, God, I'm going to get such haters. Oh, right. Why have I done this podcast? Just to get myself in trouble. Right. I love everyone. I love you all. I love all horses and dogs, irrespective of breed or type. You two are hilarious. I love you both. Have a lovely week.
You
I'm
too.
Hoping the next time we see you, we will have a guest. Get well soon to our guest who didn't turn up. I hope they can come back on. But all that is left to say, Ben, you've got to sing us out now. You've started a thing.
Shut up and ride, oh, yeah. ride. Shut up and ride. Yeah, there you go.
He's a pro, absolute pro.
Okay.
Right, sing us out again because it was beautiful.
Shut up and ride. Shut up and ride. No, we've got a theme tune now.
Wow.
And you're so good. He's so good. Shut up and ride.